That's what you do in life, yeah? You're getting born. Sooner or later getting married. Having kids. Yeah? And then we die. And what is the meaning of life? Yeah? I mean, France has so many great philosophers. Yeah? Germany as well. Yeah? What's the meaning of life? What's the purpose? We're born to die. What? Well, that's a fact. So the important thing is, what can we do in our life that is useful? If you think about, there's only this one life, you don't get the whole picture. We know, even in physics, nothing disappears. Everything changes into something else. And so is it with us. Yeah? We change from a human life form into the life form of a ghost, yeah? Or of an animal, or into the hell, or into the heavenly realm. And then, once in a while, we come back as human beings. I mean, Europe is Christian, so I mean, you heard of hell and you heard of heaven, yeah? You might not believe it, that it exists, but it does exist. But it's not eternal. That's the difference in Buddhism. You can think about hell as something like a prison. You go against the laws of the country, you end up in prison. Huh? If you go very strong against the laws, you will end up a long time in prison. If you just do a little bit, you're a short time. Yeah? If you go against the laws of the universe, you end up in hell for a long time or for a short time. After that, you will be released just like the people in the prison will be released and they go back to society. Most of them, yeah, they have nothing better to do than to go against the law again. And going back to prison. Yeah? So we're going, most of us going back to hell. Yeah? I mean, that is just, how do you say it? It's samsara. It's just the way things work. And because nobody teaches us that, that's why we don't know it. And it is important for us to know. We know, we want to know what we are doing, you know, for our benefit. Normally, you know, when you go to a shop, you know, you buy something that benefits you. If you see it doesn't benefit you, you don't buy it again. If you would understand, and if you would take a few steps backwards, yeah, and look at some of the lives that we have lived, yeah, we wouldn't do certain things. We wouldn't go back to prison, because our experience of prison is not nice. But because nobody teaches us. I mean, even the Christian church has turned around the teaching. I mean, it did exist at the time of Jesus, yeah? That there was rebirth. But it wasn't popular. You couldn't control the people with this kind of, oh, okay, now go to hell and then I come back. So what's the problem? So they had to create this eternal hell. Ah, you go to eternal hell if you do this. Yeah? And what they said, if you do this, you know, I mean, not necessarily leads to hell. Yeah? It's a way how to control people. Yeah? And they were quite successful for nearly 2,000 years. Yeah? Now it breaks up. Yeah? You see all the corruption in the church. But anyway, you know, the church has nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus. There is now Buddhist church. Interesting. There's just the Buddhist teaching. Yeah? And there's nobody up there who tells us what a monk has to teach, or what he can teach, or what he cannot teach. Yeah? It is up to the monk how he sees or sees what it is fit to teach. Yeah? But there is a regulation for monks here, and it is a hierarchy. Yeah, but they only take care of the outer things. Yeah? So if a monk goes against the primary rules of his monkhood, he will be chucked out of monkhood. Yeah? That's what they take care of. Yeah? And they normally take care of the teaching that is proposed in the schools and things like that. Yeah? We don't do that unless we are invited to do so. But there is no general one teaching. Yeah, what you can teach, what you can preach, what is right and what is wrong. Yeah? That is up to the individual mind. So that's why you see so many different kinds. When you go here in Thailand, you see so many different kinds of teaching, or ways of teaching. But the noble truths they are valid through all Thailand and through all the Theravadan countries. It's the first noble truth, the first noble truth of dukkha. Huh? You don't have dukkha. Huh? You do have dukkha all the time. What is dukkha? Dissatisfaction. Huh? Unsatisfactoriness. Huh? Not feeling well. Huh? Being bothered by something. Dukkha. Huh? Being restless. Being bored. And then you see it's all day long. Even just the feeling of tiredness. Yeah? It's not comfortable. That's why we go to sleep. If we're hungry, it's not comfortable. That's why we eat. If you're thirsty, it's not comfortable. That's why we drink. Yeah? But quite often we do drink, or we do eat out of boredom. You have a nice taste in the mouth. Yeah? So we have lots of dukkha. And that is the first noble truth. That's what the Lord Buddha teaches. There is dukkha. All beings have dukkha. And he said we as human beings can have at most 50% of the time dukkha, and the opposite is sukha, so happiness or good feelings. Yeah? But most of us have 5% of sukha and 95% of dukkha. And we know it, from our own experience. If you have really a nice encounter during the day, I mean, it just flowed through the day. A really nice encounter. Just a really moment of happiness during the day. And it makes our day go very well. That much, this little comfort, this little happiness do we need. And the rest is all dukkha. The beings in the higher realms, so above us are the devas, are the heavenly beings. Yeah, there are about 25 realms, something like that. Yeah? There are 25 different realms of heavenly beings. And the higher they go, I mean, the less dukkha they have. The first ones directly above us are what we call elves, the ones who live in the forest. Yeah? Well, if you don't have any forest, then they don't live there anymore. Yeah? In Germany, we still have lots of forest. I think in France, you still have parts that are quite good forested or deep forest. Yeah? So that's where they live. Yeah? And they're attached to the humans. Yeah? They like the humans. They like. But they don't like bad humans. So that's why they live far away, but they will go to humans that keep the five precepts, so that are morally good. Yeah? Because now in our world there's hardly anybody who's morally good, you know, that's why they keep their distance. Yeah? That's why we don't encounter them. And when you look at all these storytellings of our previous centuries, they talk all about these devas. And they're called Ruka devas, yeah? These elves, yeah? That are in the forest, live in the forest, yeah? Where did they get the idea from? We don't see them anymore. We don't believe they exist, huh? We only see what we believe, yeah? Or we believe only what we see, yeah? That's what science teaches us. Yeah? How stupid can we be? Yeah? Can you see your feelings? So they don't exist. That's what they want to make us believe. Yeah? We can't see electricity, but it does exist. Yeah? We can't see the devas, we can't see the beings in hell, that's why we don't believe that there are beings in heaven and there are beings in hell. Yeah? Just because of our physical eyes. I mean, our physical eyes are limited. Yeah? I mean, they have a very, very tiny spectrum what they can see. Yeah? If we would extend the range of our spectrum, yeah, a little bit to the red, we would see all the beings in hell or in the demon realm. Yeah? If we would extend our spectrum of the eyes a little bit to the blue, we would see the devas. But they can't, yeah. But the deva sees us, yeah. Or see the animals, or see the beings in hell, yeah. But with our inner eyes, we can see them. And we can communicate with them. It's not difficult. So coming back to the first noble truth of dukkha, I mean all beings have dukkha, even the highest beings or in the highest heavens have still dukkha. You will be surprised, you know, I mean, how can we imagine that people in heaven have dukkha? Yeah? But they do have. Yeah? Not very often, yeah? But once in a while, yeah? They do things, you know, also because of dukkha. They are rulers, yeah? They are kings of the heavens, yeah, and so on. Yeah? Their servants, and so on. Yeah? All have their own interests. And the moment, you know, something goes against my interest, I have dukkha. Yeah? Something doesn't go as I planned it, dukkha. Yeah? Something comes in my way that I don't like, dukkha. Yeah? It's always there. We don't see it. That's a problem. Yeah? Or we don't want to see it. Yeah? That's why we... That's why we probably developed the smartphone, yeah? Where we can always be, yeah, doing something else and not knowing what is going on within us, yeah? I mean, there are some pictures about the smartphone, yeah? I mean, he probably knows it, he's probably my generation, yeah? And, I mean, when we met, you know, with our friends in a cafe, you know, we used to talk to each other. We didn't just send SMS, you know. We used the verbal language. But nowadays it seems, you know, that whenever you go into a train in Europe or even here, huh, or in a bus, you see them only focused on their smartphone. Yeah. It's as if their little smartphone is their world, yeah. Everything happens there. Yeah. Of course, they have internet, so it's a big world, but you know, inside of this box. Yeah. The question is, are we really still human beings? What is the definition of a human being? Yeah? Acts on free will. Yeah? Do we still have free will? Yeah? Or are we just programs? Robots. Programmed by society, programmed by our desires? Yeah? Interesting thing. You know the definition of Nibbana? The unconditioned. You know what programming is? Making conditions. So as long as we are conditioned, we are programs running. And every one of you knows, yeah? The moment you see your father, program father runs. The moment you see your mother, program mother runs. You just can't get out of the program. It runs until the end. Yeah? You don't even notice, you know, who is there. Because of all your previous experience, before all of your conditionings that you have towards your parents, yeah? Or your friends, you know. When you're longer together with somebody, I mean, it's the same. Yeah? You develop the program. That's why it is so interesting in the beginning. Because there's not yet a program developed. Yeah? How we interact with each other. But 5 months later, you know, already starts, you know, to get fixed and fixer and fixer, and then we want to break out, yeah? Then we change it, yeah, we change the relationship, you know, and the next thing happens all the time. Yeah? No matter what relationship we have, it will end up, you know, in this fixed program. Yeah? So in order to become a free human being, we have to remove this conditioning. We have to remove if, then, else. Yeah? Anybody knows the programming language? If I see my mother, then I react like this. Yeah. Even when I say to myself, I shouldn't be there like that. Yeah. Even if I reflect about it. The next time I see my mother, boom, it's the same thing. Yeah. Or I see my father. Yeah. Or I see this friend. Or I see that friend. Yeah. Or I see this kind of that. Yeah. The conditioning kicks in. It seems like that we have no choice. And most of us have very little choice because they're not even aware of this process. So conditioning is that makes us slaves. Anybody who knows, you know, any program that runs, you know, it cannot kick out itself, yeah? It cannot remove the conditioning it has, yeah? But there's something within us, yeah? And maybe that's why you're here. There is something that is inherent within us that can kick this programming out. That can remove this programming or can change this programming, but changing this programming is not a good idea. Yeah? Not just another program answer. Yeah? But coming back to the First Noble Truth, yes? I mean, these dukkha, is that where our programming kicks in? Yeah? When I see this person, you know, then I do this, you know, when I see that, it's because it's discomfort, yeah? Unpleasant, yeah. When I'm hungry, I eat. Yeah? It's conditioned, yeah? Because of dukkha. Yeah? Because of the more dukkha we have, the more conditioned we are. Yeah? We try to run away from the dukkha. We don't know how dukkha appears. We don't know how to stop the dukkha. All what we can do is try to run away. Yeah? And it's the same thing with sukha. All the pleasant things. Yeah. I mean, look at your planning. If I'm going to do this, I will be happy. Yeah? If I'm going to buy this, I will be happy. Yeah? Or if I have enough money, I will be happy. Yeah? It's all conditioning. It's all going into some place that is in the near future. Yeah? And you all know it doesn't happen like that. And then we get disappointed. Yeah? And then we try something else. So what is the cause of our dukkha? That is the Second Noble Truth. Yeah? The cause of our dukkha is our desire. It's a desire to be. It's a desire not to be. It's a desire to become. Or it's a desire not to become. Yeah? I want to become an engineer. Yeah, that's our desire. Yeah? Once we study and become an engineer, then I want to have a job. Yeah, some of us get a job, others don't get a job. Yeah, and then we have dukkha. Yeah? Meet with the things that we want to meet, you know, is sukha. Meet with the things that we don't want to meet is dukkha. The desire is there. The desire to be alive, yeah? The desire to be a human being, yeah? That brings all the dukkha of birth, yeah? Then of growing up, yeah? How long did it take you to program this body? Until it could do what you wanted to do with it? 15 years? 16 years? When you went to university, 21 years? 22 years? Programming. That's what we did. Huh? Ah, interesting, huh? But nobody at university tells us that. We learn to walk. Yeah? Oh, no. The first thing is we learn to breathe, yeah? We can't even do that. The body comes out, you know, it can't breathe. Yeah? We have to help it to breathe, yeah? Then we have to learn how to digest. Then we have to learn to walk. Then we have to learn to talk. And then, for a long, long time, we have to learn to think. We can't think in the beginning as a five-year-old. We just follow our desires, yeah? But we don't think, yeah? So we have to learn to think. Yeah? And have to gather a lot of knowledge. So 15, 16 years, yeah? It takes you to program this body, yeah? Then it works, you don't know yet, yeah? It works for 30 years, and then it falls apart. Look at your parents, it falls apart, you know? They have this ache, or that does fail, or that fails, they go often to hospitals, yeah? And then look at your grandmothers, yeah? They're already, you know, either they're already dead, or they're in the process of dying. And that is what we want, yeah. Really efficient thing, yeah. And when you look, yeah, I mean, you don't know yet, but we do know a little bit, you know. When old age comes in, you know, when it kicks in, you know, that things just don't work anymore the way it used to work, yeah. Even, you know, I mean, when you were 20, you could go through the night without any problems, yeah. You can have party through the night. When you're 30, I mean, it's getting a little bit tough, yeah? You need to rest then, yeah? At that time, we just didn't need to rest, yeah? I mean, we had enough energy, yeah? So, I mean, over the time, you know, the energy becomes low. We can't do the things that we want to do anymore. Yeah? Or, you know, we say we have no interest, yeah? Programming this body for 15 years, yeah? Using it for 30 years, and then watching it decline for 40 years, until it doesn't breathe anymore, until it completely falls apart. And then we want to get another body. We can't get enough of this. When you look, or when you could have a look at your lives, I mean, you would see, I mean, billions of lives that you have lived. Yeah? Sometimes you've been a slave, sometimes you have been a knight, sometimes, or very often you have been a soldier, yeah? Sometimes you have been a farmer, you've been everything. Yeah? But it's not enough. It's just playing video games, yeah? You can't get enough. You can't stop playing, you know. The moment it's game over, you put in the next one. Look at the people who are really addicted to it. They don't live in this world anymore. Huh? And if we have a little bit of awareness of that, we know. Yeah? It doesn't matter if it is a game, yeah, or if they're playing internet. Yeah? They're just so obsessed, they can't even get there. Yeah? I mean, they can't even leave 1 minute, you know, without looking at their Facebook entries. Oh, what did they write? Yeah. They're so addicted, you know, that they live. They don't live in reality. They don't know what is going on around them. Yeah? And that is with us, yeah? I mean, that is, yeah? I mean, we already live in a delusion, you know, but they create within the delusion another delusion. You know, how deep do you want to go, yeah? Just wait for the virtual reality games where you're completely up. Yeah? You don't live anymore, yeah? And we try to do that, yeah, because we want to go, instead, what the Lord Buddha taught us, you know, to get out of the delusion, you know, we could just go the opposite way, deeper and deeper and deeper. Yeah? I mean, people who were raised, you know, in the 50s or in the 60s, yeah, I mean, there wasn't a smartphone, there was hardly any TVs, yeah, well, so what did we do all day long? Can you imagine? No internet, no smartphones. There was a phone at the home, yeah? And if you weren't there, it rang, and we didn't know that it rang. We didn't know even that somebody called us, yeah? And at the time, you know, I mean, we just went and visited somebody, yeah? Can you imagine that? You just go and see our friend, you know, if he's there. You don't call him or you don't send a letter, I'm coming at that and that time. We just went there. Yeah? If he was there, it was okay. If he wasn't there, it was not okay. Yeah? It was also okay. Yeah? But now you have all these entries in your smartphone. Yeah? Oh, I have to be there, I have to be there. I mean, of course, we used But was it a notebook, you know, I mean, when we were at work, you know, to put in these these important dates, yeah? But only, you know, I used it only when I was at work, yeah? When I was doing work, because I had meetings, you know, I mean, I had to remember. Yeah? But other from that, you know, when I was 15, I mean, it was pretty free, yeah? Yeah. We had a lot of creative time. And our school wasn't that hard. Yeah? And now you're pressed, more pressed, yeah? I mean, the moment you get children, I mean, you have to think about their education when they're 5. Or 4, no, 3. Yeah? You have to put them in special kindergartens, you know, where they already learn, you know, basic things. Yeah? They're even more broken than you, yeah? And it's getting worse and worse every generation after generation. Yeah? Yeah? But we create this. Yeah? By not reflecting above. Yeah? By always trying to evade dukkha. By trying to get our attention onto something else. Yeah? When there's dukkha, we get our attention on something else. Yeah? So we either eat, or we call somebody, yeah? or we meet somebody, yeah? Or we drink something, yeah? Or we play something, or we look something up. Oh, that's interesting, I need to look that up on the internet, yeah? Yeah? That's our mechanism. We evade dukkha all the time, so we don't really know what dukkha is. And if we don't understand the first noble truth, yeah, then we will not go to the next noble truth that explains us why there is dukkha. We want, yeah? We desire to be something, yeah? Or we desire to have something, or we desire not to have something, or we desire not to be something, yeah? The person who doesn't want to become, yeah, responsible for the job, or, you know, he will become the job, yeah? He will be made, you know, responsible, yeah? He doesn't like that, yeah? But because of his fear, you know, not having any money, yeah, I mean, he has to take it. Yeah? So he meets with all these things, yeah? And especially now for you, when you work, when you go back to France, you have to work, yeah? I mean, you have to do all the things that you really don't like to do, yeah? Just because you need some money to feed this body. Huh? And then think about it, you know, all the time that you invest in this body, yeah? In the end, this body dies. Would you say that's a good investment? It just goes, you know, it just disintegrates. It disintegrates, yeah? And we can't even stop it. Yeah, people don't think this. That's a problem, yeah? People only see, you know, what the projections are. Yeah? I mean, how do we orient ourselves in societies? You know, by looking what other people are doing. Yeah. So if other people are doing this, you know, it should be fine. We are following it. Just yeah. That's what Fromm said. You know, I mean, you know, we need a bull, you know, who leads the way. Yeah. And we're just the herd. Yeah. The herd of cows, you know, that just follow, you know, the leader. Yeah. No matter, you know, if you call it democratic leader or the autocratic leader, you know, it doesn't really matter. Yeah? Or if you call it media nowadays, yeah, they lead us. Yeah. At the moment, they lead us into war. Yeah. They don't like the Russians. They want to have war with Russia. But we don't like. Right? Or do you like to be a soldier and fight against somebody who you don't know just because somebody else up there, you know, tells you? Huh? I'm so disappointed, you know, in the Green Party in Germany. Huh? They said they want to get out of the NATO now. They are the first ones who send the people into foreign countries, you know, to kill other people that we don't even know and we don't have anything to do with. Huh? What kind of thinking is that? People that we thought, you know, come out of my generation, yeah? Peace movement, yeah? Doesn't exist anymore. Yeah? Or hardly. We are forced into these things. Yeah? Because they tell us if you don't do that, you starve. Don't get a job, yeah? Because you're not conform with the system, yeah? Yeah, and then you have to starve, so what do you do, yeah? I mean, starving is not a nice idea, so you be conformed with the system, yeah? That's how they can force us, and we call that freedom of democracy, huh? What kind of freedom is that, yeah? A monk has more freedom. He can go wherever he wants to. Yeah? But, of course, you know, he has to live with the conditions that are there. Yeah? That's what is our training about. Being satisfied with whatever is given to us. If nothing is given to us, you know, we are satisfied. If lots of things are given to us, you know, we are satisfied. Yeah? We don't complain. But we can go anywhere. We are not stuck to any monasteries. Yeah? I mean, I've been on Tudong for 10 years. I lived in caves. I lived in the forest. Yeah? Nobody around. Yeah. When I was hungry, you know, I went on alms round in the morning, you know, got my bowl of food. Yeah, and then that was it. Yeah? Water was always there. Yeah? Can get it. From the streams, huh? Or from the rainwater that you gather. Huh? So it's easy life. Yeah? Free. Yeah? It's freedom. If you don't have anybody, you know, who tells you what to do. Yeah? Of course, you have to follow as a monk. You have a set of rules, you know, that you have to follow. Yeah? But if you're only interested in meditation and practice, then that's not a problem. Yeah? But the moment you become interested in worldly concerns, then you have a lot of restrictions as a monk. Yeah? But I was only interested in practice, so I mean, I have no problem. Yeah? So, let's go back to the Noble Truth. Then there's a third Noble Truth. That just tells us, you know, very happy statement, there's an end of dukkha. And that the fourth Noble Truth is that what, you know, what we do practice here at the monastery. It's the path that leads to the end of dukkha. And it starts with morality. Yeah? What a strange word. A word that we normally don't like to be here. Yeah? Huh? Morality. Yeah? Well, you can call it the five precepts. Or the five basic behavioral rules for society, for any kind of society. Don't harm any living being is the first rule. Yeah? Well, we do have that in our laws, don't kill anybody. Yeah? But the rule, don't harm any living being, includes also these animals. Yeah? The second rule is don't take what is not given. Yeah? We have the law, don't steal. Yeah? If we steal, we know we go to prison. Yeah? If we kill, we go to prison. Yeah? We know that. Yeah? So that's why we try to avoid to do it. Yeah? And if we don't keep the precepts, it's the same with the precepts. Yeah? If we do not keep these precepts, we go to hell. Yeah? For a certain amount of time. Yeah? The third one is the most terrifying one. It's no sexual misconduct. Yeah? That means being faithful in one's relationship. Yeah? Not going outside of the relationship, no matter if the other person agrees to or not agrees to. The relationship is between a man and a woman. Yeah? And you have to be faithful and as long as this relationship lasts. Yeah? Be it a marriage, you know, you have to be faithful until the end of the marriage. Yeah? Then you can marry somebody else if you like. Yeah? That is not only the only point. Yeah? That is disrespected in the West enormously. Yeah? And if you think, and I'm pretty much sure, because France and Germany are pretty much alike in these laws, yeah? I mean, 100 years ago, if the man was going outside of his marriage, he was imprisoned. Huh? Can you imagine that? That was against the law. Well, we got rid of it in the 20s or 1920s, 1930s, yeah? Because it was inconvenient, yeah? But that doesn't mean, yeah? Right? And Buddhism is still there, yeah? No matter what, you know, I mean, at the time of Jesus, I mean, they stoned, you know, either the man or the woman, yeah? To death. Yeah? And they still do it in Arab countries, yeah? That's it. But that is not so important. Sexual misconduct is also, I mean, it was also forbidden, you know, until the 50s, that a teacher has a relationship with a student. Yeah? That a professor has a relationship with a student. Yeah? Was forbidden. I mean, he was kicked out of university. Yeah? Or as a teacher. That is sexual misconduct in Buddhist terms. Yeah? And of course, father, you know, father-daughter or mother-son, yeah? Relationship. And of course, anybody who is dependent on us. Yeah? So that also means a chef and his secretary. It's sexual misconduct. And it is punished, yeah? Just the same way, yeah? As it used to be punished by law 100 years ago. But in a different way. Yeah? And sex with animals. That is all sexual misconduct. And when you look at the world, it is full of it. I mean, we accepted it already. Eh? The younger generation accepted it. Eh? We invented it. In the hippie generation. Make love, not war, yeah? You remember the times, yeah? I mean, our generation was very proficient, you know, putting out all these old rules, you know, and living, you know, according to our desires. So that was the third precept. No? What is the fourth precept? It's also not to lie. Yeah, that is not punished by law. Not to say untruthful things. And not to harm with our speech. Yeah? That's the fourth precept. And the fifth precept, I mean, it is nearly impossible for most of the people in the world not to keep it. Yeah? No alcohol, no drugs. Yeah? The Muslims do pretty much keep it, yeah? At least it's pretty. It's forbidden. Yeah? I mean, you don't get, you can't buy alcohol in Muslim countries. So they just don't sell it. Yeah, if you want to, you know, you have to brew it yourself. Yeah? But anyway, yeah. So no alcohol, no trucks. Yeah. Because alcohol and trucks. I mean, the only reason, yeah, why there's alcohol and trucks, because the moment we are drunk, we say things that we regret later. We do things that we regret later. We lose our awareness. We lose our mindfulness. Yeah? We lose our control over the other four moral precepts. That's why alcohol and drugs are not allowed. Yeah? So these five precepts, they are very, very important for us as human beings. Yeah? I mean, yes, just like any one of us, yeah, he has gone against these precepts. I, yeah, myself, has gone against these precepts. Yeah. And the moment I came into touch with Buddhism, then I looked through my life, you know, I encountered up all these things, you know, that went against the precept. And I think when I was with 30 years of hell, you know, then I stopped counting. Yeah. Just in 20, 30 years. Yeah. I mean, of course, we do also good things. Yeah. We do nice things. We help other people, you know. We are generous to other people. Yeah. That could lead us to heaven. Yeah. But yeah, it's a roller coaster. It's the way up is very slow, and we can't even wait it. You know, when it goes down, I mean, we are really excited. We can't wait to go down, you know, because once we are down, we can go up again, yeah? That is the way that, a roller coaster, yeah? I mean, next time you ride a roller coaster, remember it, yeah? That is life. It goes up, and then it goes down, yeah? And it goes up again, and then it goes down again, and goes up again, and goes down, yeah? And most of the time, because we don't keep the five precepts. So, I mean, take these, yeah? It is very important. No matter if you're Buddhist or not, yeah? It is important to know, I mean, these are the rules of the universe. No matter if it is a human being, if it is an animal, the same rules apply to any being. Yeah? If it is a deva, if it is a god, yeah? If it is the highest god. Yeah? If he kills somebody, you know, if he destroys people, you know, destroys people's property, you know, through his enormous power, I mean, he will be punished by the same law. In front of the law, all beings are the same. And the interesting things, you know, these gods, even though they might live for 200,000 or 300,000 years, once their time is up, most of them go to hell first, yeah? My venerable teacher, yeah, I mean, he said, I mean, when he looked at his life, yeah, there were times, yeah, he went up to this heaven, you know, and then he went up down to that hell, and then he went up to another heaven, then he went down to another hell, yeah. And then, I mean, quite a few times before he was become a human being again. Because of our good deeds, yeah, we go up, yeah, and of our bad deeds, we go down. Yeah? But that is only true for spiritual people, yeah. For most of the people, they know only human realm, you know, they know only the highest realm for them is the human realm, yeah? They just do, you know, follow their desires to go down, you know, and then they come up again, you know, in order to go down. Yeah? And that's why there are so many beings here at the moment on this planet, yeah? Because they all have a break, yeah? Prison break, yeah? It's not nice, you know, I mean, the truth, to hear the truth, it's not nice, it's just not pleasant to hear the truth, yeah? Never say that, yeah? But the truth is, you know, what the Lord Buddha taught, you know? I mean, Jesus even taught it, you know, but we really don't remember it. What did he say? The masses are going through the broad door that leads to destruction. Only few go the stony path that leads to heaven, yeah? He said that. Yeah, nobody listens to that. The Lord Buddha was a little bit more precise. He said, who goes to heaven? Who goes to hell? You see that bull over there? How many horns does he have? These are the people who go to heaven or Nibbana. And how many hairs does he have on his fur? These are the people who go to hell. Now imagine, yeah, how many hairs he has on his fur. 5 millions, 10 millions, yeah? And these are the people going to hell. And then he said another thing, you know, we don't like to admit to, or we don't like to hear, is that 70% of the beings, of the human beings, have no choice than to go to hell. Because they have no interest in religion. They have no interest in keeping the precepts. They have not the slightest interest in developing themselves. They just want to live, yeah? Live out their desires. Yeah? And that is 70%. They just don't have any choice. Yeah? 30% have a choice, and they are the ones who, one day we keep the precepts, the next day we don't keep the precepts, then we keep them again, and then we don't keep them again. You know, they constantly, you know, sway, you know, from one extreme to the other. Yeah, that is the 30%. Yeah, I mean, you can say 29.5%. And the 0.5% are the ones who see it, you know, and go straight. Yeah, they keep the precepts, you know, they have no problem with it, and they. Some of them become monks, yeah? Or most of them become monks, you know, and then just go the path, you know, to the end of dukkha. Hmm? So, morality, yeah? Or you call it precept if you don't like to be a moral person. Yeah? It's the same thing. Yeah? The interesting thing for you as lay people, no matter if you're Buddhist or non-Buddhist, is if you keep these precepts from now on, you can be safe, yeah? I mean, whatever we've done in the past, it will come back to us. I mean, there's nothing to prevent it to come back, yeah? We just accept it, yeah? But we know from now on, and you're pretty young, so I mean, you still have maybe 40, 50, 60 years to live, yeah? Yeah? So most of your time, you were morally good, yeah? That means most of the time, yeah? That gives you a longer time, you know, or easier return back to human beings, yeah? It is like a passport, you know? I mean, you know, everybody who's drunk driving, you know, he gets his driver license, you know, removed for 3 months or 9 months, yeah? Not keeping the precepts, you know, prevents you to become a human being for a certain amount of time, yeah? So, the more you keep the precepts, I mean, the easier, the shorter is the time, you know, where you don't become a human being. And it's not always hell, yeah? I mean, keep some of the precepts like killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct always lead to hell, yeah? But doesn't really mean that if you lie that you need to go to hell. Sometimes if it is strong lies, yeah, if you deceive others, you know, and lead them to some harmful ways, you know, then, of course, yes. But otherwise, you know, I mean, killing animals, yeah, leads to the animal world. Hunters, yeah, that's where they go. You know, the game they hunt, you know, that's what they become. Not if they kill it only one time, yeah. The butchers, yeah. And sometimes if you look at an old butcher, you know, who slaughtered animals for a long time, I mean, you already see it in his face, you know, what he becomes in his next life. You do say that. You remember these old butchers? They look like pigs or that look like cows, yeah? I mean, their face already over the 70-year-old butcher, yeah? They already had the face of the animal that he will become. Yeah? Because whatever you do unto others, others will do unto you. You know, I mean, in French, I'm sure you have that saying in French. Huh? Do you? And the second part of the sentence, what is that? We only say, don't do unto others what you don't want others to do unto you, because whatever is done unto you is what you have done unto others. That is, whatever happens in our life, be it good or be it bad, is something that we have done unto others in our previous lives. Yeah? That's really difficult to take, isn't it? Because we think it's a government, it's our parents, it's this person or that person, yeah? He's so mean to me. No. It's the response, yeah, from a long, long time ago, from what we did. We know, yeah, that every farmer, yeah, who sows some wheat, you know, or rice here, they sow rice here, I mean, they have to wait for 5-6 months until it gets ripe. And so is it with karma. Karma doesn't ripe within 5-6 years, you know, it ripes within 60, 70, 80, 90 years, yeah? So what we do today, most of it we will get back in our next life. So don't expect, you know, that it will get better or you will reap the fruits of your doing in this life. Most of it is you will reap in your next life. We live in this life. Whatever we do now will happen in the next life. And that is important for us, yeah, to understand that. And we shouldn't, yeah. And then not only keeping the precepts is good, but also doing good is good. Yeah? We only do this to others what we want to receive. Yeah? So if you want that other people love you, you know, I mean, you should love other people. Yeah? You should respect people. Yeah? Any person, any human being. Yeah? In order to become a human being, he had to keep these 5 precepts, so he was morally intact for a certain amount of time. Yeah? So he's a good person, yeah? So we can respect it. All the animals have been human beings before, or even have been gods before, yeah? We all change it, yeah? So, I mean, we can respect any person, yeah? We don't. I mean, people misunderstand when I say respect, that means I have to find it great what he's doing. That's not. I mean, I can respect the murderer, but I don't certainly agree not with his killing other people or harming other people. But I can respect him as a human being. He had the right to become a human being. That means he had, in his previous lives, you know, respected the 5 precepts. Yeah? Don't only see, you know, the black spot on the face, you know, look at the good sides, yeah? In this way we can respect. We can respect animals, yeah? Animals have been people before, yeah? And they sometimes have a miserable life, yeah? Especially now in Europe, yeah? I mean, in all these feeding industries, yeah? I mean, look at the chickens here. I mean, they have a free life, yeah? They can fly, you know? They can do whatever they like, yeah? Their eggs are not even put away. Yeah? They live here, you know, in free. All the animals here are protected. Yeah? Because if the animals fly outside of the gate, what do the villagers do? Kill it. Yeah? And eat it. Yeah? And some of them have not returned, you know, I mean, they know that, yeah? So they stay within the bounds. They know the moment they go out, you know, they're killed. Yeah? So these animals here have the greatest life, yeah? But most of the animals don't. Yeah? We even feed them. Yeah? They get rice and they get vegetables, you know, whenever the old vegetables from the market are carried here. They get bananas, you know, these squirrels, yeah? And all these, what is it? Tau. Now I know only it's German in the private. Turtles. Turtles from so tiny until that big. Mm-hmm. Not many of them, but 2 or 3 are around here. Lots of animals around here. And the mini deer. Yeah? You see them. Yeah? Before there were monkeys and tigers. Yeah? So we do respect the animals' life and let them live as they want, you know, and even Help them, feed them. Yeah? So, respect is something about, has nothing to do with what that person does. That is something that we have to separate out. Yeah? We can respect any person, we can respect any animal, but we don't have to like what he's doing. Yeah? It has nothing to do with each other. We can respect him as a human being, yeah? But we don't need to respect what he's doing. Or we don't have to praise what he's doing. Yeah? Respect is a very, very important thing. Yeah? We also got rid of it in the hippie times. Yeah? Our generation, yeah? I don't know if you were involved. I was a little bit involved, yeah? Yeah. Respect, gratitude, generosity. These are the things. Yeah? Keeping the five precepts is one thing. Yeah? Generosity, respect, gratitude. That gives us access to the Deva realm, to the heavenly realm. I mean, they live, you know, like we lived, you know, 500 years ago. They have kings, yeah? Yeah. And the kings are respected, you know, just like the king here in Thailand is highly respected. Yeah? And if you say something, people listen to it, yeah? But you have a hierarchy, yeah? And this hierarchy is respected, you know. I mean, you have lower devas, you know, lower heavenly beings, and higher and higher and higher. Just like we had kingdoms, yeah, where there were ministers, yeah, where there were king ministers and things like that, you know, until servants and slaves, yeah. So respect is one thing, you know. They don't like people. They don't like people up there who don't have respect, yeah, and who are not generous, yeah, who are stingy. Generosity, respect, gratitude, yeah? Are the things that give us access, yeah? Inclusive, including, of course, the five precepts that give us access to the higher realms. Yeah? These are the things, the basic things, how this universe works. Yeah? If you know that, I mean, we can choose any way we want to go. I assume nobody wants to go to hell, so I mean, now you know what to do in order not to go to hell. Yeah? But it's difficult, isn't it? Yeah? Because our desires are so strong. Yeah? So we have to cut, yeah? Or not give in our desires. Keep at the bounds. Yeah? I mean, you still can drink coffee, you can still go tourist around the world. You know, I mean, it's not forbidden. Yeah? Yeah? You have your ice cream, you know, I mean, you have your girlfriend or you have your wife. Yeah? You have children, you know, it's all not forbidden. Yeah? Sex is not forbidden. Yeah? And actually what the Lord Buddha said about a relationship is, that is the highest, yeah, happiness in the human realm. But it has to work, yeah? Between partners there has to be respect, yeah? There has to be trust, there has to be faith, yeah? Then it is okay. Yeah? Then it is the highest happiness that human beings can have. Mirai. เข้าใจภาษาอังกฤษไหมนิดหน่อยครับนิดหน่อยเนี่ยเอานั่งลง There's nothing more, you know. I mean, for human beings that are pretty much alone, yeah. I mean, a good working relationship is the highest happiness as a human being. I mean, you don't have to, yeah. If you don't want, if you still like life, you know, if you still like to program this body, yeah, and be reborn. Over and over and over again, yeah. I mean, that is up to you. That is your choosing. Yeah? But with what I'm saying to you is, yeah, to give you the perspective of how the universe works. Yeah? Yeah? What to do, you know, to get into a nice realm, or what to do, you know, to stay in the human realm. Yeah? But you know, the human realm is not that really that great. Yeah. If you want to go to the Deva realm, you know what to do. Yeah? But it goes against our desires, yeah? We have to cut down on our desires. Generosity, we have to cut down on the desire. We have to give things away that belongs to us, yeah? That's material things, yeah? We as monks have to get rid of things that are even more closer to us, of all our opinions, of all our views, yeah? That's even closer to us, yeah? I mean, giving material things, you know, is a preliminary step, yeah, of going on the path of practice. Yeah? Generosity is a preliminary step, yeah? If I'm ready to give all these things away, yeah, because I have no interest in material things, then I still cling to my views and opinions, yeah? But on the path of practice, yeah, getting rid of all one's views and opinions, because there are nothing else than conditionings, yeah? We can change our views and opinions, then we have another conditioning, different things appear, yeah? We have to get rid of all views and opinions. Yeah? We have to get rid of self. Yeah? And what did the Lord Buddha said about this? It is easier as a single person to fight a whole army. We don't mind that. You know, I mean, some of us really don't mind that, you know. If we are thinking this is right, I mean, we go and fight against, you know, 10 people, 100 people. Yeah. But that is much easier than to fight oneself. And what is oneself? Whatever we believe. Whatever we think. Yeah? What do we believe is us? The first thing comes into mind, the body. You look in the mirror and say, yeah, that's me. Yeah? Hmm? So, the body is me. Yeah? Then, the next important thing is the feelings. Yeah? I feel like that. Yeah? Haven't you noticed that these feelings are changing? Today you feel good, tomorrow you feel bad. Now how do you feel really? Good or bad? You contradict yourself constantly. Today we think like this, yeah? Or 10 years ago you thought completely different. So, how can you say this is you now? That contradicts, you know, what you thought 5 years ago. So how can you think you are your thoughts? How can you think you are the feeling? Yeah? So there's a body, there's the feelings, there are bodily feelings, mental feelings, yeah? There's thought, and there's one thing that is very important, it's memories. Yeah? And there's consciousness. These are the groups that we think is us. Nobody would think, you know, that he is one of the chickens out there. We see it. Yeah? We can do, actually, you know, I mean, if they are not wild, we can do whatever we want to them. Yeah? But we can't do that to our feelings that we call us. If you have a bad feeling, you can't change it to a nice feeling, huh? But if you have a shirt, you know, that you don't like to wear, yeah, you just pull out a drawer and put another shirt on. So you can say this is much more like you, because you have control over these things. Yeah? But about your feelings, your thoughts, your memories, you have no control over. When you think about it, you know, I mean, do you like all these thoughts that come into your mind? Have you invited them in? So how can you say it's you? It's a misconception. Yeah? Of course, it's prevalent in this world, this misconception, because everybody thinks, I think like this, yeah? I feel like this. And we don't see the constant contradiction. Am I now happy or unhappy? Yeah? I have to think about it. What is it? Yeah? Am I now left or right? Yeah. If I change my political motivation? Yeah? What am I? Yeah? Who am I? Yeah? Am I all these things? Or am I just seeing these things? Am I just experiencing these things? Yeah? Just like I see these chickens, yeah? But a better comparison is, yeah? I mean, all of you probably have went to movies. Huh? When you sit there and watch a movie, you laugh, you cry, you get angry, and sometimes you want to change the script, even though you know you can't change it. But within this time of 1 hour or 2 hours, you're not aware of who is sitting there. You live in this movie. Yeah? You feel with this movie. Yeah? If it's an interesting one, if it's a boring one, it's something different. Yeah? You're gone. Where are you? Huh? Who is sitting there on the chair? Yeah? And who is watching that? Huh? Huh? Just take this. Yeah? Now you close your eyes and you see on the inner screen, you see this movie. These feelings that appear, the thoughts that appear, the memories that appear. Yeah? You didn't invite them. Yeah? And even if you invite them, sometimes they don't even come. Yeah? Yeah. I wonder, what was it? You know, I can't remember, yeah? But at times, you know, where you don't want to remember, they come, yeah? So you have no control over them. How can you call anything that is you what you don't have control over? You have no control over your feelings. You have no control over the body. Huh? If it gets sick, then it gets sick. Yeah? It's not you. It's like you don't have control over your car. You know, if it breaks down, you know, then it breaks down. You know, then you just pay it, give it to the repair shop, you know, to get it fixed. Yeah. You don't have control over your memories. You don't have control over your thoughts. Yeah. How can you call this is me? It's mine. That's what I am. Yeah. It's interesting. Because everyone around us, you know, we were taught in school like that. Yeah, that's me. It's my thought. It's my idea. Yeah. No, it's just floating around just like these chickens are walking around. Yeah. And the first one who sees, yeah, that's my idea. Yeah. Yeah. So we grab hold of it. Yeah. We even go to patent it, you know, and get some revenues on it if it was a good idea. Yeah. We just saw it first, you know. Whoever sees something first, you know, is the owner of that thing. But it's not me. Yeah? Just next time you go to the movies, you know, watch yourself sitting there in the seat and watching the movie. Yeah? What is happening there on the screen? Yeah? I mean, actually, you know, it's the same on television. There's red, green, blue, yeah, and the sound. Four elements, yeah. But we are so deluded into believing that there actually is something. In the beginning of the movies, even we call them moving pictures. Because actually one picture, one frame after the one frame. Yeah? Now let's play a movie at a very slow frame rate, you know, so that every picture now is standing there for 1 minute. Who wants to watch that movie? Yeah? And then we see how the mind makes a connection between one frame and the next frame. It's a connection that is not there. Huh? The mind automatically draws that connection, you know. So that's how time and space arrive. Yeah? Because actually there is just one moment. Yeah? And then comes another moment, and then there comes another moment. And that is the same thing for us, you know, in meditation. We just observe this one moment. Yeah? When this one moment is over, the next moment comes. And there's a short, you know, just like within the old movies, you could see there was always this black stripe between one picture, yeah? But they played it so fast that we couldn't see it. Yeah? So we were fooled into that there's actually something moving. Yeah? There actually is nothing moving. Yeah? It's the same thing with our mind. Yeah? He's constantly fooled in that something is happening where there actually is nothing happening. Because, you know, we connect these lines. Yeah? If you have two points, you know, automatically connect a line through it. So if you see two pictures, you automatically make, you know, connection between these two pictures. That's how the mind works. Yeah? So I haven't even started about talking about practice, yeah? So, the first part, you know, of the path that leads us, yeah, to the end of dukkha is precept or morality. Yeah? The next one is samadhi, and the third one is wisdom. Yeah? Wisdom comes through investigation, exactly. Yeah? What do we investigate? What we believe is us. Yeah? So these five groups, yeah? The body, yeah? Feelings, thoughts, memories, consciousness. That's what we investigate and see until we understand it's not us. Yeah? But that can only be done through investigation. Yeah? But in order to be able to investigate, investigation is not thinking about something. That's not investigation, otherwise we don't need to go come to this place. Yeah? We learned to think at the university, you know, we learned to investigate at the university, but that's not the kind of investigation. It's the old type of investigation, how they founded science. Yeah? Newton observed, you know, the apple falling down from the tree. Yeah? Through this observation, he found out the law of gravity. We don't do that anymore. I mean, nothing more coming out, you know. No more genius coming out in the last 50, 60 years, yeah. We only, you know, mix things together of our old genius, yeah. That's not wisdom. Through observation, yeah? So through observation, we observe how things arise. Yeah? How is a feeling born? How long does a feeling last? And what happens then? Yeah? How is a thought? How does an emotion? Emotion isn't even really in these five groups, yeah. An emotion is something that is a build-up, you know. I mean, it is something like you have a hot pot, you know, and you throw some sugar in it, yeah? And you put it out, and it becomes really, really, really big, yeah? But the essence of this sugar candy is just a little bit, a handful of sugar, yeah? Together with the heat. Huh? We are fooled by this bigness, and we don't know how emotions arise, yeah? So, through observation, we will understand. Yeah? Buddhist practice is investigating. It's actually, you know, pretty tough work. Yeah? It's investigating ourselves. Who the hell are we? Yeah? Who the hell is telling me to do this? You know that somebody tells you, you know, it's in your inner ear, that somebody tells you that you like this. Yeah? So the next time you ask, why should I like this? It's not you. You know something is within your ear, yeah? And tells you to like it, to do it, or not to do it. I don't like to do this, yeah? Where does it? You know. You know this thought coming up. But who is the one who knows it? Who is the one who sits on the seat and watches a movie? That's practice to get to this one knowing, to this knowing, to the real us. Not to the fake. We know the movies are fake, yeah? But we still love them. They delude us. We know that they delude us, but we love it. So who is the real thing? And that's where we go into samadhi. That's why we need to focus on one point, yeah? We focus in onto this one point until everything else disappears. In the beginning, you know, it is just thought that disappears, thought and memories disappear. Yeah? Then we are already quiet. If there are no more thoughts, if there are no more memories, how can we be unhappy? Huh? How can we worry about it? How can future arise without thoughts and memories? This is impossible. Why do we deprive ourselves of the things that we are so much long for? Just by simply, yeah, focusing on one point, when the mind goes out, you know, bring it back. Yeah? Be it the breath at the tip of the nose, not following the breath, or being the mental repetition of Buddha. The moment the mind goes out, we go back. We always bring it back. It's a learning. It's a training, just like we train to walk. We didn't succeed the first time. It took us 1.5 years. Yeah? So, don't think, you know, I mean, within 3 days, you know how to practice, yeah? It's training, mind training, and it's even tougher, yeah? So you have to bring the mind back. Bring it back until it becomes concentrated. Yeah? Once it becomes concentrated, it will stay on this point. It will stay on the Buddha. It will stay on this point. It will And there are no more thoughts, and there are no memories, yeah? And there's just happiness. There's just peacefulness, yeah? Depends on, yeah? That depends on each person's character. Yeah? There's just peacefulness or happiness, yeah? Because there are no more thoughts that predict the future or recall a past, yeah? Or worry, or getting angry, or getting greedy. There's no desire. We are completely contented when thoughts stop. Yeah? So why do we deprive ourselves of this happiness? Because it's difficult to get there. Yeah? Because it's difficult, you know. Our mind that is so distracted in this world, and you have a much harder time than our generation. Because you have so many playthings that we didn't even have. We didn't even grow up with. Yeah? So it's much more difficult for you to be able to concentrate on this one point. Yeah. So bring the mind back until the mind becomes calm. Yeah? Once the mind becomes calm, you will be happy, you will be contented. Yeah? That is called Upacara Samadhi. Yeah? It's our safe house that is there. You know, whenever we are in big troubles, you know, we just go in the safe house, recharge our energy, and then come back, and with new energy we can solve all these problems. And then when we are depleted, we go back and recharge again. Yeah? Doesn't cost any money, but it costs a lot of effort and determination to get there. Yeah? You can even go deeper. You can see or you can experience that thing that really is within you. Yeah? And that is knowing. So you go and concentrate until the mind really gets focused onto one point. Yeah. Once the mind is one-pointed, what is one point? There's nothing else. Yeah. It gathers into one point. So, I mean, everything disappears what is fake. The universe disappears. First of all, you know, you will notice if it goes slowly, the body disappears, slowly disappears, yeah, until all the sounds disappear and then everything disappears. Yeah? And then even time disappears and space disappears, yeah? And all what is left is knowingness. Yeah? But knowingness that doesn't know any object because it is one point. So that is the real you. Yeah? And that's called preview of Nibbana or deep samadhi. The preview, yeah, of Nibbana, of the state that is unconditioned, because there is no more condition. Yeah? And with the strength and the power that you get from there, I mean, when you go in, when you come out, you know, after 1 hour, 2 hours, yeah, I mean, you feel like you put your two fingers into a AC outlet. You're so powerful, you know, whatever you look, you just look right through. That is the power of the deep samadhi. Yeah? The upachara or excess samadhi is not so powerful, but it energizes you enough, yeah, to do your work. Yeah? Okay, and for today I stop with this. Yeah, I mean, was already a long talk. Do you have any questions? I mean, you will stay here for a few days, huh?
3 days. So
yeah, yeah. So tomorrow there is anyway a talk, yeah? I mean, so please ask it, the questions. Tomorrow is Sunday, you know, there's a general talk. But, yeah. So you can ask the question then, yeah? I mean, for me it's nearly 3 hours, yeah? Okay.